Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I have to say, if you have been paying attention, I know that when I posted this on the Facebook page last night and I said that this is getting heavy on the heart and soul, and I asked you how you were coping, a lot of you talk about turning the news off. And that's not a bad idea. That's probably not the smartest thing for me to say, unless you're going to stick with us noon to three here on 97.1 through the whole, the whole weekday. We're covering this and we're trying to do this respectfully. I know that Mark is on all of the news and he's getting great guests. Brian Kilmeade, of course, doing the same. And Dave Glover is touching on all of these things and still trying to make sure that we have some levity in it. So we are all doing the very best we can. Katie and I were talking about this last night, but this is hard for us to do. Mm-hmm. Ryan, you might feel the same way about it, but we cannot unplug. It's our job. So we have a responsibility and we are going to do that. But if you're not paying attention to everything because you need a break, I respect that. But there are videos coming out. Protesters and police officers in the most beautiful moments that humanity can serve up, just like that one where there was a young black man. He looked like he was in his late teens, maybe, and he's just sobbing in tears. And then a police officer embraces him and says, we're in this together. We're here for you. And it is a beautiful moment. And when you are watching the fires burning and the violence, and if you're missing those moments, we need to push those moments into the front and center because they are happening too. Police officers, I talk about us having to follow all this. This is difficult for us. It's also difficult for police officers right now who aren't in Minneapolis, who weren't a part of this story, but are having to manage this. And that's why we are welcoming onto this show the chief of police at the Gulf Shores Police Department, but very familiar with the St. Louis and Metro East area, Chief Ed Delmore, joining us now. Chief, thank you so much for coming on. It's a pleasure to speak with you. I'm really looking forward to this conversation.
Great to talk to you guys again. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So I got this article that you wrote, this post. And Katie, do we have that up as well?
We do. Mm-hmm.
So we've got it shared at 971talk.com/Annie and onto the Facebook page. And I know that you've shared it from your department there as well. But Chief, I want to give you the opportunity to just speak on this. As somebody who's in law enforcement, who has seen what I've seen, what civilians have seen happen to George Floyd, and then what has happened after it, I just want to give you the opportunity to speak on this so that the people of St. Louis can hear your thoughts.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that opportunity. First of all, I come from a family of police officers. My wife is a retired police officer. My big brother retired from the SIU Edwardsville Police Department. I have two kids that are in law enforcement now. And in fact, my cousin, whom I never met, was a St. Louis police officer a long time ago who was killed in the line of duty. Mm-hmm. Most of my friends, because I've done this for so long, are police officers also. And I have not talked to one who would support what that officer in Minneapolis did to that gentleman and the 8 minutes or so on his neck. That's completely inappropriate. And everyone in law enforcement agrees with that. They agree that the firings were appropriate. They agree that the charges are appropriate. And they're angry. And they're angry at that officer.
Yeah. And I think it's one thing that I've heard that is kind of consistent with people who are speaking out on this issue and defending George Floyd is that they want to hear more from law enforcement about this specifically. And you know, I think it's very key to understand that we should never look at a person and prejudge them based on their skin color, their hair color, their height, their weight, all of that. It's wrong to do that. But I think that I've just kind of been saying that, like, blue seems to be a skin color too these days. And the people who are wearing blue, we cannot look at that uniform and prejudge those individuals either, even to the extent where we can't assume that just because you're wearing a uniform that every single person who has ever worn a police officer's uniform or the uniform to defend our country, that every single one that uniform makes them perfect, good, and whole, that there are possibilities that exist where, let's just say, a wolf sneaks in there and creates a scenario that tarnishes the rest of the people who look like that, wearing that blue skin. And that's kind of what your article is about here. And I want you to elaborate on this point that you're making when you talk about the wolves that are out there and the officers like yourself and those you serve with being the sheepdogs, because it is a very, very appropriate analogy right now that I think people need to hear.
Well, thank you. And I was listening earlier when you were talking about the article, and you laid it out pretty well. I don't think I can improve upon that. But again, just to reiterate that we acknowledge that from time to time, despite our best efforts, someone who doesn't belong in this profession will slip through the cracks, through all the arduous processes that someone goes through to become a police officer, and they're not suited, and they're a wolf. They're a bad guy who happens to be in that police uniform and who happens to have that authority that we're all invested with. And it's a pretty significant amount of power that we're given. And you have to have the right personality and the right mindset and the right character to handle that. And law enforcement organizations actually do a pretty good job of weeding those people out. And there's always room for improvement. But you're right in that a lot of times these days, people look at us, in many cases, as the bad guys just because of the uniform that we wear. And that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
And then the other part of it is, you know, to actually talk about the real numbers, because there's the narrative that's out there about how this is not just an aberration, but it's a regular thing, and it's not. So if you want, I can speak to that as well.
Yeah, you know, I do. I want to give you the opportunity to talk about what is right. And I mean, what officers are doing out there, because I've talked to a lot of local police officers here. We've had some situations kind of close to my home that have made me raise my eyebrows about what's going to be taking place here. And then I've talked to some officers who are in the city who deal with some things that I can't even fit in my imagination that exist, you know, a stone's throw from where I live. There is a real evil that does take place. And law enforcement is choosing to put themselves between me and my admitted ignorance about what actually exists in the world and the evils that you do see. You've chosen to do this, and we know, I know, again, I'm working real hard on speaking for myself these days, but I know that you're the good guys, and I am trusting the good guys to call out the bad guys when they get behind where you're supposed to be. So please tell me a little bit about being law enforcement today on June 1st, 2020, in the midst of everything that's going on right now. There's a lot of stuff being said. There's a lot of narratives being pushed. And you've made it very clear that what you saw take place in the George Floyd situation, that you and nobody you've discussed this with thinks there's anything right about that. What else do people need to know right now to kind of get us grounded in a place where we are dealing with truth and facts and working to create a better community going forward?
Well, as one of my lieutenants said just a few minutes ago, we need to talk about the duplicity of the situation and the protesters versus the rioters. There's absolutely a good reason for protests when we watch what happened in Minneapolis to that victim. And we would stand in support of those protesters doing that. But where it changes, of course, is when those non-violent protests become violent. And it would appear that those are not just sprouting up organically, but they may have some financial support and may they're just not happening. There's an ulterior motive for it. Yeah, they're very well organized. But, you know, here's what I compare it to, and I think this is what people, I would like people to think about. You know, I live down here at the beach, and we're on the Gulf of Mexico. I'm not trying to rub it in, but and in the 10 years, you know, I spent all my life in the Metro East, but for the 10 years that I've been here, we've had one shark bite, okay? Mm-hmm. And we've had zero fatal shark attacks. But you guys are in the media. When a fatal shark attack occurs, it's a big deal, is it not?
Right, yeah. National news.
Okay, so let me ask you a little trivia question. How many fatal shark attacks have there been in the United States?
Man, I don't even know. But I feel like every time I see it, I just think, don't swim in the water.
In this part of the country, not happened. As many.
Well, yeah, the Mississippi, the Coast Guard on the Mississippi River do a pretty good job of keeping them out.
But just in case you wanted to know if Ryan was still in the room. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Ryan.
Yeah.
Okay, so loose research here. There have been about 50 fatal shark attacks in the United States. 50 in my lifetime. So relatively speaking, from a math perspective, an insignificant amount. Now, if you're one of those 50, that's a big deal. I get it. But it's big news when it happens. And it's kind of the same thing when a police officer does something like this, and this criminal act on the part of this police officer and somebody dies. It's relatively rare. And in most cases, when that happens, that police officer, just like in this case, is fired and prosecuted. There are, and again, just the math here, according to some research that was done for the United States Supreme Court, American law enforcement makes 29,000 custodial arrests a day in this country. That means they take 29,000 people a day to jail. Now, you multiply that by 365, that's more than 10.5 million people that go to jail every day. There are 700,000 cops or so in the United States with 18,000 law enforcement agencies. And so if we just look, for example, at how many American law enforcement, 10.5 million arrests a year, how many American law enforcement shoot and kill every year, again, making the shark to cop comparison. Do you have any idea?
No.
Do you guys have an idea? Okay. Less than 1,000.
Wow.
Less than 1,000. Now, if you listen to some of the media, you think it's a regular thing, and it happens all the time. But again, statistically, unless you're one of the 1,000, it's really not that many. It's always horrible when it happens, and there's a very, very small fraction of those shootings that are not justified, and it's a very small number of people who are unarmed. But an unarmed person is dangerous. I had an officer last year disarmed by a subject who then tried to murder some of my police officers. It's not an easy job. It really isn't. But the numbers don't bear out some of the things you hear. And I just gave you some pretty good numbers on that.
I appreciate that so much. Chief Ed Delmore, police chief in Gulf Shores, I want to thank you for coming on today. And if you don't mind, we're going to keep your number close and continue to touch base with you as this continues to progress. And I'm going to encourage people to go to 971talk.com/Annie, or we've shared it to our Facebook page, and to read this article that he has written here. And it's very well done, and it's a wonderful analogy. And your voice on this matter right now, it's very timely. So thank you so much, Chief. It's great to have you here.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Have a good week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.